Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Flight Training Podcast. Today we're going to be looking at a great passage on Sabbath and one of the kind of origin stories of what did Sabbath look like originally as God was creating it for the Israelites. So we're going to be looking in Exodus chapter 16. We're going to read quite a bit of this chapter. So if you want to read along with us, it might not be a bad idea to hit pause here. Open up your Bible. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 through 30. I am going to pause as we go and do some explanation. Okay, so to set this up, this is after Moses has led the Israelites out of slavery. They're now stuck wandering around the desert, though. And this is before they've gotten to the promised land, the country that God's going to settle them in. And so they're wandering around in the desert, having left the land of slavery, which was Egypt. So starting in verse 2, it says, "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death.'" So everybody's hungry. What do hungry people do? They start grumbling. Okay, so they're getting mad at their leaders, at Moses and Aaron, because they don't have the meat that they want and all the food that they want. They say it's better if we would have just died back in Egypt. So then in verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." We'll explain this as we go a little further on. Basically, God's going to miraculously produce some bread. They're supposed to gather it up each day. On the sixth day of the week, they're supposed to get twice as much as normal because there's going to be a Sabbath where they're not going to be working and gathering the bread, okay? So he's setting that up, and he says specifically, like, here's some very specific instructions. I'm going to see whether you're going to obey or not. So then in verse 6, it says, "So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, 'In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?' Moses also said, 'You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.'" So here, you know, they came to Moses and Aaron and were like, "Oh, you know, we don't have enough to eat. We've been better off if we died." But Moses says, the person you're really grumbling against is God. God's the one who's responsible for you. God's the one who's leading you. God's the one who's providing for you. So when you grumble, you might be grumbling to a person, but really you're grumbling to God, which is you know, a scary place to be at when you're grumbling against God. So then in verse 9, Moses told, well, I guess just to jump on that for just a little minute, when we grumble about things we want in our life, who are we grumbling against? Sometimes we think, "Oh, I'm just grumbling about the government," or "I'm just grumbling about my boss." But it's interesting. Like, here they were physically talking to Moses and Aaron, but God took it personally. So then verse 9, "Moses told Aaron, 'Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.' While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud." So God would physically appear back in this stage. His glory would appear in this cloud, and he would typically meet with Moses in that form. So it says in verse 11, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp." So quail, you know, this type of bird that's fairly easy to catch and fairly good to eat, you know, it's a meaty bird, came and just migrated into the desert, a ton of them, easy meat for people to get. It says in verse 14, "When the dew in the morning was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it is or what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer, which is a measurement amount for each person you have in your tent. So if you've got five people in your tent, you take five omers. If you've got two, you take two. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. So some people went out and gathered, you know, handfuls and handfuls or armfuls and armfuls. And other people, you know, older or slower or whatever, they didn't get as much. So then in verse 18, and when they had measured it by the omer, the ones who gathered much did not have too much, and the ones who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone has gathered just as much as they needed. So it's interesting to look back how God set things up for the Israelites sometimes when you're thinking about how should maybe our society work. You can't take a one for one, but here specifically, these strong, fast people, they gather a whole bunch, but they wind up sharing it with the people that are slower or weaker. So every family winds up with enough food. You can take that and run any direction you want, and it's not important for our podcast today, but it's just an interesting thing to point out. Verse 19, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Okay, so that was one of God's commands. Verse 20, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. So God had given this very specific command. Every day I'm going to give you bread, and you're supposed to eat the bread that I give you, and I'm going to give it to you every day, so you don't need to hoard it and hold on to it. And specifically, like when they tried to hoard it and hold on to it, it got instantly ruined, like maggots and gunk and whatever. Moses is mad because they're disobeying. And then in verse 21, each morning everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away, talking about the manna, the bread. Verse 22, on the sixth day they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. Moses said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save what is left and keep it until morning. So this idea of do all your cooking today, get ready, and you're going to work twice as hard today to prepare, you know, to get twice as much food or whatever, but you're going to prepare everything and you're going to save stuff tonight. So even though you're specifically commanded not to save stuff the other days of the week, because you're supposed to, this particular day, you're supposed to save until morning. So verse 24, so they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. So God's doing something miraculous here. This stuff is cursed on normal days of the week when they try to hold on to it and hoard it, but on a particular, the day before the Sabbath, they're able to hold on to it, and so God's able to provide food for them on the Sabbath without them having to work to get it. Verse 25, eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath there will not be any. Verse 27, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. So this idea that even though Moses said, like, today's a Sabbath, don't go out and try to pick up a bunch of bread on the ground, like, don't do that. That's work. Still, people, even though they'd miraculously seen, like, oh, all that stuff I saved didn't rot, it's right there sitting ready for me to rest and eat it, they still went out and tried to work. Verse 28, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. So pretty long passage of scripture to read through. I want to point out three things I think that this teaches us, and then our challenge this week is going to kind of dig at those three things. We're going to have kind of three parts to the challenge. So what does this story teach us? Well, one, God was the provider for the Israelites. I mean, he was trying to train these people to be his people. And one of the key things he did was this active lesson. It wasn't just words, but it was every single day they had to depend on him for food. Like every day, miraculously, he took care of them. Why would God design it that way? You know, God could have snapped his fingers and made them not hungry. God could have put a lot of, you know, wild animals in the place that he sent them to wander around in so they could take care of themselves. He could have done a lot of things. What he chose to do, though, was to remind them every day that he is their provider. And for us, in the morning, you know, we don't go out on the street and pick up our cereal off the pavement or something. Like, there's no miraculous manna for us. And God only did this for a special period of time. But I still think that basic principle rings true throughout all of the Bible, that ultimately God is our provider. And we need to trust that the things we have are gifts from God and that God will take care of us. So that's the first thing. God is the provider. It was important for his people to know that. Number two, Sabbath breaking, as we see it in this story, it was, if you put yourself in these people's shoes, it's not like some ancient problem that they're struggling with that we're so civilized and cooler than, and so we don't need to have Sabbath because we've become so advanced. If you think about the people and why were they breaking the command of Sabbath back then, it was for a reason that a lot of us would be tempted to not take a break. What they were doing is they're out in the desert, they've got a family, and there's food, but it's food that disappears when it's left out in the sun. You know, it melts away. And so there's this temptation to get as much of it as you can. And so to not trust that God will provide tomorrow, to just say, like, I got to take care of myself, I got to get as much as I can for me, and I got to get more than I need so I don't need God's help tomorrow. And then on the Sabbath, even when a miracle has happened in your own little tent and God has provided what you need for that day, there is still this temptation of, oh, I got time on my hands and there's food to be had. Let's go out and get extra food just in case. Let's go get some more than we need just in case. So there was fear that they wouldn't have enough, and it was doubt that God would take care of them. When you think about why is it so hard for us to take a break, typically it's rooted in fear and doubt. It's rooted in this idea of, if I don't go out and do a ton of things, people won't like me. Or if I don't go out and do a ton of things, I won't have enough money. Or if I don't go out and blah, 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 blah. It's this doubt that God can take care of us. Now, there's definitely people out there that don't work anywhere close to 6 days a week, and they're trying to mooch off of other people and stuff. That's not, you know, the Sabbath isn't correcting that problem. That's its own separate problem. But there's a lot of us in our culture that are tempted to produce and produce and produce every single day, and to base our identity in what we produce, and to live in this fear and doubt of not having enough. And because we're so driven by the fear of not having enough, we never take a break. We never trust that God will provide, and that is a huge weakness to our enjoyment of life, but also to our relationship with God. Because here's the third point of this section of scripture I want to tell you about, is that God will take care of us, and God has the power to bless us enough even for us to be able to rest. Like, if God tells you to rest and you rest, like, God will take care of you. Now, this month we're experimenting with Sabbath. We will get to a spot at the end of the month where we try to figure out what are we supposed to do with Sabbath, because it's not, you know, Moses is not here today telling you exactly what to do and exactly the measurements to use and the days to do what and the places to go. Things have changed, but I think those three ideas are still important for us, that we need desperately to see God as our provider. We can't use fear or doubt as our real reasons for not having a Sabbath. If the reason we don't rest is because of fears or because of doubts, then that's wrong. And finally, we need to trust that God will take care of us, and to realize that God can bless us enough that we can rest and still have more than we need. So the Israelites here, if they obeyed everything Moses said, they'd have everything they needed and a day off. Imagine that. Imagine if you would follow God, and if you could trust that you're going to have everything you needed, and you're going to have a day off each week. Not just a day where you don't clock in at work, but a day of rest. Pretty awesome sounding, huh? So it sounds awesome until we talk about actually doing it. So this week I'm going to push you guys to do it again. We're going to do Sabbath a little differently. It's totally arbitrary this time why we're doing it differently than we did the first week of the month. There's nothing magical about the way we're going to do it. I just want you to experiment and try different things, see if it works better for you this month while we're trying it. So for Sabbath, for the Hebrews or the Jewish people back in the Old Testament, they would normally do a Sabbath from sunset to sunset. So that's how their days worked. We normally think of a day as when you wake up until you go to sleep. But for them, it was when the sun went down until the sun went down again. So it's still 24 hours, but it's a little different mode of thinking of 24 hours. So We're going to try that out this week. Like I said, there's nothing holy or spectacular about it, but what I want you to do is pick a day, and as soon as it gets dark, you can Google it if you want to, when is sunset, as soon as it gets dark, you're going to stop working, and then you're going to not work again until it gets dark the next day. So it'll be 24 hours without work. Now, I got fairly specific in the first week's challenge about what exactly work meant. I said no chores and no buying stuff, and obviously no working for money. I'm going to loosen that a little bit on the buying stuff. We're going to experiment. You know, this is going to be a touch different. You get a little more latitude on defining what work is. What I want to challenge you to do, though, is to actually rest in this time. So don't do things that are hard or suck energy out of you to produce something. Now, maybe spending time with certain family members or something, maybe that's hard on you. Well, Sabbath was never supposed to be a break from family, okay? It's supposed to be enjoyed with friends and family. But when it comes to, like, should you wash the dishes or not, like, I'll let you decide the specific rules. But don't do any work that day, however you define work, and do a lot of resting that day. Do things that are easy, that you feel like give you energy, that you feel like help you enjoy God and thank God, and have your body and your mind and your soul rest, okay? So that's part one of the challenge. Remember, there's three parts here. So you're going to plan a day to do a Sabbath from sunset to sunset, and you got to do it this week before we meet again. But before you do your Sabbath, I want you to write out a list on a sheet of paper. Write out the fears you have about taking that break. Because if you let yourself think about it, there'll be some things of like, oh man, if I take a break that day, am I really going to be able to get this, and this done this week? Or am I going to really have enough money if I don't work extra hours on Saturday, or whatever your deal is? I bet there'll be some fear and some doubt in you. Write those things out. And then I want you to pray over that list and say, God, I've got 7 days, hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast early. If not, you've got so many days left. One of those days, I want to rest and I want to enjoy it. I'm asking you to give me a day of rest as a blessing, as a gift. And I'm also asking that as I work hard the other days this week, that you would help me to have enough. You know, help me to have enough money, help me to have enough whatever other things. You know, maybe you need to change the oil in your car or whatever. Like, help me to get the things done I have to get done on the other days, and help me to be able to rest. And I want to trust you that you'll take care of me. And then as you go through this as an experiment, see what happens this week. See what God does in your life. Like, are you able, if you work hard the other days, are you able to enjoy a day of rest with God? And at the end of the week, I'm going to be curious if you're going to feel like, I actually got more. Like, I feel more blessed, more taken care of. I feel like more productive, and I had a day off. So that's what we're experimenting towards, but we'll see what happens. Sometimes we do these challenges and they don't work out well. So sometimes we learn a lot through failure and things like that too. But the challenge is, you're going to take a Sabbath or day of rest, but you're going to go from sunset to sunset, a 24-hour period. Before you do that, you write out your fear, your doubts about taking such a rest. And really throughout the rest of the week, you start praying over that list, asking God to provide for you, asking him to give you rest and to give you the other things that you need. And then you attempt to trust him as you do this experiment, okay? So hopefully that makes sense. I'm excited to hear how it goes for you guys.